it's really a blessing to take the microphone once again. I am so glad to have an opportunity to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's really my favorite subject, whether in the gospel, though the outward man perish, the inner man is renewed day by day. I'm so glad for the encouragement I get from my brethren in every meeting that we have, because truly, God does renew us day by day, and what a blessing. Did you ever get to the point where you actually had to pray so much that you're always afraid of leaving something out? There's prayers of thanksgiving, of gratitude, prayers of appreciation for the Lord Jesus Christ, and from Him, who is the source of all of our blessings. All of these other things trickle down to us. There are several people in this meeting right here, right now. I look over the crowd, and I see that God's grace has been ministered unto us, and miracles, actually miracles, have taken place. And some of the miracles that God does are kind of quiet. They're not really seen by everybody, but everybody that is saved for any length of time. First of all, the miracle of salvation. That's a wonderful miracle right there. There's nothing to compare with it. And God, the Father, sometimes acts in quiet ways. A lot of times people in other Christian places, they call themselves saved, but if it isn't spectacular, they're not interested. I'm sorry, but a lot of your certain type of TV evangelists and certain ones, not all of them, they want to have the spectacular. But the thing is, God speaks in a quiet voice. Most of the time, it's been that experience for me and for many of the ones that I'm actually with today in this meeting. It's a quiet experience, but the miracle is no less of a miracle. It's wonderful. I see little children in our meeting. Every little kid is a miracle. Miracle. It's a miracle. It points to Christ. God is the giver of all life. Eternal life points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Physical life, really, it's perfectly obvious for everyone to see. It's from God. But when a person gets saved, you don't see the change necessarily. Sometimes you do. Sometimes it's a big change right away. But more often than not, it's a small change. But it's no less a miracle. It's precious. Precious. And so what we'd like to talk about is the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, but in his priestly role, he has many different roles. He's a servant. In fact, each one of the Gospels, Matthew is the Lord Jesus Christ mostly as king. Mark is the servant. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, which accentuates his serving God. And it was written mostly to the Romans, who understood servitude. Now, in Luke, mostly the Son of Man. And John's Gospel, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ as God the Son, or the Son of God, really. Now, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And it's the whole epistle, really, is about the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, gents mentioned this morning Hebrews chapter 9, and I told them at the break, I says, I'm glad you didn't take my message. But it was wonderful how you think every thought of the Lord Jesus Christ, every single thought of Him, even if it's a thought that you had yesterday or the day before, thank God if you did, because every thought of the Lord Jesus Christ is the result of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. In fact, when you know that something is from God, is if it speaks well of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about Neil a moment ago, and this is another thing I learned from Neil. He's with the Lord now, and he's happy. And Jania's mother, Neil's wife, is with the Lord now. They're happy together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? And they're just enjoying them. That's what heaven is all about, really. It's about enjoying the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we enjoy him? We enjoy him now, though having not seen him, we love him. The just shall live by faith, not by sight, even though, as I mentioned a moment ago, all of us have had miracles in our life. But all they are is markers. Really, it's a gift from God, yes, but they're markers. Charlene and I went on a trail through the woods, a place we'd never been before, and there were different pathways leading off the main trail. It was beautiful. We love that stuff. And we appreciate God, what he did, especially in the fall where it's so pretty and there's no bugs to speak of. But we like that. But there's a little marker on the tree here and over here and over there. And if you follow those markers, you'll come and you'll stay on the trail. The Lord Jesus Christ, in God's word here that we have, are a lot of markers that we can use to actually encourage us from day to day. Now, don't tell me you don't get discouraged, because we do. For instance, every time we sin, what happens is when you, I tell you, I was young once, and I'm not young anymore. Now I'm old. And the psalmist says, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. But I could add to that a whole bunch of stuff. Now, I'm still a sinner. But you will notice, as you get older, the types of sin kind of change. The temptations change as you get older and up in years. And I'm 75, so I'll get that out of the way. I'll let you know how old I am. You say, how old are you? I'm 75. And anyway, but the thing is, it goes on and on and on until we finally pass into God's presence. And heaven is all about many things, but it's also all about things that aren't there. What happens to our flesh nature? We seem to have two natures, don't we? I heard one preacher say, well, I used to wonder if I really had two natures. And then one hot summer night, he had an invitation. It was prayer meeting night. And he had an invitation to go to somebody else's house that wasn't in his assembly. He says, we're having melon, ripe melon, and vanilla ice cream. And we're going to have a lot of fun together, nice, legitimate, good times together. But it was prayer meeting night. And he said, boy, he says, now I really know I have two natures. The old nature that wants physical comfort, physical enjoyment, nothing wrong with that. But it was on a prayer meeting night. And all he had to do was stop and reflect. He says, you know, I'm going to enjoy that prayer meeting night a lot better than that vanilla ice cream and nice ripe melon and everything. But he said, I know I got two natures that really would rather do something else. One nature would, and the other nature would. He went to the prayer meeting, he said. So, and he enjoyed it much more than the carnal things, even though they were legitimate, the carnal things. Now, here's the thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said his meat was to do the will of his Father in heaven. They at the well, the woman at the well, he got to speak to that woman from Samaria at the well. And it was God's will that that woman get saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did, he was tired, of course, and he sat. He was human. He was tired. He sat by the well and she came to draw a course, and you know the story, most of us pretty well. But it was God's will that she be saved, and so, and it's afterwards, she went back to tell her fellow villagers of the Lord. But his disciples came to him and said, here's some food. And he said, I have meat to eat that you don't know about. And they said, oh, who brought you some food? He says, my meat, my food, his sustenance, if you will, was to do the will of his Father in heaven. That's what gave the Lord Jesus Christ satisfaction. There's many ways to be satisfied. We can be satisfied with our food, but the main thing is to be satisfied with Christ. Now, are we satisfied with God when we're satisfied with Christ? Yes. That's right. That He is God. But God, in His grace, sent the Lord Jesus Christ, and someone has well said, the Lord Jesus Christ is God in terms that we can understand. Because he's God, yes, but he is truly human. Human in every way except for sin. There was no sin nature in our Lord Jesus Christ. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. So I thought we could read Hebrews chapter 10. Jen quoted from Hebrews 9. But Hebrews chapter 10, the whole epistle really is about the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's all three. He's prophet, he's priest, and he's king. In fact, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible teaches that. Now, what does a king do? A king rules, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule as well in a coming day, but he also rules from heaven now. He's just not on the earth right now. He's ruling from heaven. Here's a thing that I mentioned before. I'll reiterate it. Because he's king, do you know, if you're saved, you are going to reign with him? Now, how about that? Some of us are more educated than others, or whatever, more stature in the world, and the world will look at you. If you've got a PhD after your name, you're regarded in a more high regard, and things like that. But no, we are all one in Christ. We are going to reign with him because we are, as saved people, the part of the bride of Christ. All right, what's the next thing? He's prophet. What does a prophet do? A prophet tells the people, he brings God to the people, basically. Let's put it that way. He brings God to the people. He actually tells people what God has said. Isn't that what we do when we go about our daily lives? If we're living for Christ and we have short accounts with God and we're walking in the Lord and in the Spirit, we are actually prophets, in a sense, as he is. We tell forth the word of God. People will ask, what is it with you? How come you're so happy all the time? What, are you crazy? No. No. We have Christ. Christ. Remember the Philippian jailer? After they whipped the disciples, he heard them singing. How can that possibly be? Their feet were in stocks. Why would they be singing? Something strange going on here, not to mention the earthquake and so on. But believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So we got that. So prophecy. You're telling what God, we share the same privilege when we give out the gospel. We have that privilege. Now, if we're in sin and haven't confessed this sin, we are not likely to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it is so important. That's why we're here. You will never fulfill your purpose that God has for us, every one of us, no matter what our walk of life, our purpose, that's why we're here and not in heaven. Our purpose here is to be a prophet of sorts, which bringing God to the people. Bring the Word of God. There are people that will never read their Bibles, as has been said already, but they will read you. Someone misunderstood me one time. I didn't even know he knew I was a Christian. I told a bunch of people, but I didn't know this one was. And knew it. And he says, because people do talk, you know. They'll talk about you behind your back or whatever. But he said, I thought you were a Christian. I said, I am. He said, and what'd you say that for? I said, that isn't what I said. I had to explain it to him. And what happened was that, he understood after that. But the thing is, people aren't reading their Bibles. They're reading you. They're reading me. And you have to be very careful. That means you have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. A friend once told me something a long time ago, and I actually remember it. I have a long memory for things, some things, I guess. And he said, do you know that you act differently with every one of your close friends? You talk a certain way here because you're relating to that person, and that person is different than that other person. So you actually are relating to that person either verbally or socially or whatever, different than you're walking with that one. And it's true. We tend to do that as humans. We tend to actually react differently to different people. But one thing we should have in common is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are different. We're all different. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And always let your speech be seasoned with salt. So let's read the moment we've been waiting for here. Hebrews chapter 10. I hope my habit of not reading right away doesn't annoy anybody. If it does, come and tell me about it. I can take it. But it says, for this law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make those who come to it perfect. And so on. Let's skip to verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, the Lord Jesus Christ, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. I just love this next verse. He said, in verse 7, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Now, there's a lot in that. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ said, he says, I don't speak of myself. The only thing I say is what God the Father has given me to say. And that's just a wonderful thing. There was constant communication between God the Son and God the Father while the Lord Jesus Christ was here on the earth. Isn't that wonderful? We can do that because we're saved. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. Because of that, we have the Lord Jesus Christ living in us. And we have God the Father living in us. Now, you might think that's kind of crowded. How could that possibly be? But it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. And if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have all three persons of the Trinity dwelling in you. And then you have the new nature, which you have. As an individual Christian, we have a new nature. And that's what is living. However, some people call it the old nature. That's what we sin with. That's what we sin is. It's called the flesh elsewhere in Scripture. God doesn't try to revamp the flesh, the old nature. He says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That means you have to be aware mentally. Now, all right, why do I go into mental? Because it's important, because that's part of our being. The Spirit We're spiritually dead before we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's too bad. It's like a three-decker house. You see a lot of them in Worcester. I used to live in one of them. It's like the roof. And then there's three floors. There's the spirit on the top floor. Then the soul, which is the seat of the emotions, on the second floor. And the body is on the seat of, is on the first floor. Well, the roof falls in. The first thing to go is the spirit. I'm just using this as an illustration. This is not in the Bible. But the thing is, it's caved in. Now, there was a tornado in Worcester in 1953. I was 6 years old. And my father made it home. He used to work in Worcester. He made it all the way to Marlboro. But as soon as he was able, he got all the kids in the car and he said, I want you to see something. He drove through Worcester, and I was just little, but I remember this. Whole sides of the building and some houses were ripped off. And it was like a dollhouse. You could see people on, you could see there, they weren't in there. You could see their bedroom. And then the second floor, you could see that. And the third floor, you could see that. The whole wall came off of the house. And those buildings eventually had to be torn down. But we, as people, have those, we're tripart being too. There's spirit, there's the emotions, which is the soul. It's immortal, the soul is immortal. And the spirit is dead to God if we're not saved. You cannot communicate with God. You can, by his grace, be communicated unto, because you still have the intellect. The spirit is the seat of the intellect. The soul is a spirit, is really the seat of the emotions, and the body is physical, of course. So we see that, but we're a tripart being. God is a triune God, not tripart, but triune, three in one. And he made us this way. Now, why don't dogs and cats get saved? Because, for one thing, they can't. They're not human. They're not part of Adam's race that fell. They're part of God's creation, and God bless animals, I love them. But they're not little people. They're animals. But the Bible says the righteous man regardeth his beast. We're supposed to be kind to them and not cruel. Kind to them and have a regard for them as stewards of God's creation. That's what we're here for. Now, that's one reason, not every reason. Here's the thing, what it says, we read verse 7, and said, then said I, the Lord Jesus, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. The thing with the Lord Jesus Christ is he always did those things that pleased the Father. There never was anybody like him. People can say to you, you're becoming more Christ-like. That's a wonderful thing to be said of anybody, to be more Christ-like. But they can't really say it unless they know what Christ is like. And if you do that, and you can see that, wow, he's just, he doesn't sin very much anymore, and he's becoming more Christ-like, becoming more Christ. It's wonderful. We were created in the image of God, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit of God that changes our life, and it makes us more Christ-like. Isn't that wonderful that it can happen that way? As I said, I've seen a number of people in this meeting who are the result of a miracle. Everyone here, if you're growing in Christ, you are a miracle. No, you can't fly around the room. No, you can't levitate. No, you can't do any of the things the unsaved think are wonderful. The biggest miracle of all is that we are being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the miracle of God's salvation. And everyone that is saved, whether recently or for a long time, is able, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, to change. The sins that bothered you so much, before in the past when you first got saved, they just gradually fall off. If you walk with the Lord Jesus, that doesn't mean you're sinless. You have to be careful of that. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth of God is not in us. Now, that's John who said that, who was very close to the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. He really leaned his head on the Lord's breast at the supper, and he knew. He made it his business to be right next to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what I said before, last time I was here? You follow Christ. You can't follow him physically, but you know what I'm talking about. One of the brethren, he kind of pointed it out to me. He said, look, he said, I'm trying to follow Christ. He said, I'm putting my toe on his heel, and I'm in lockstep. I'm trying to be lockstep with him. Every time he goes like this, and he stops, I stop. And when he goes forward, I put my foot. Try walking like that. It's kind of hard. But he was trying to. I was trying to make a point, and he took me up on it. And he said, "I'm doing that. I'm trying to do that." And he says, I said, "That's right." And you know what's good about that? When you're not doing it, you know it. When you're not that close to him, you immediately see the difference. And that's the thing. You feel, oh, no. A lot of times, you know, I told you this before. Before I get out of bed in the morning, I say, I'm away from the Lord. Where did I go? Where was I? I was right in this bed. I say my prayers before I go to bed. I thank God for the day. And I go to sleep. I didn't go anywhere. Yes, I did. Sure you did. In your mind. Your mind. Your mind can wander away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, where your heart is, that's where you are. Where your heart is. In other words, has there ever been a time when you were closer to the Lord Jesus Christ than you are right now? If that's true, you need to be restored. Mm-hmm. You need that. You know why I can say that? Because it happens to me. And I know it happens to you, everybody. We are all as an unclean thing, the Bible says. But you don't stay away like that. What you do is as soon as you know about it and realize what's happened, you run back to him. We have a song about that. We sing it sometimes. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee. This is the greatest, that Jesus loves me, and so on. He's ready. He's waiting for you with open arms. I had one brother talk to me. He's still alive. And he once said to an older brother who is now with the Lord, I was right there when he said it. He says, he shook his head, and he's recently saved. He just got saved. He says, I just got saved, and I woke up, and I'm away from the Lord. And the older brother said, who moved? Well, he had to answer. He says, it was me. But he says, what do I do? What do I do? And he says, confess all known sin, and even the sins that you don't know, confess it. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? There's no trial period. If you do something bad at work, they'll say, well, I'll give you 90 days, and if you don't straighten up, or if you do straighten up, after 90 days, that's good, you're right back where you... No. You're restored immediately. You're restored immediately. As soon as we confess our sin, just take God at his word. I've said things, done things, even thought things. Where'd that come from? You didn't go after that. It came to you. The devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now that happens to everybody, young or old. There was a man called J.M. Davies, missionary to India, in fact, for many years, over 50 years. And he came back here because of his health. He used to have this, he used to have a magnifying glass, and he'd read his Bible. Now I'm doing it. I've got cataracts. I've got to get them taken out. But the thing is, with him, I thought, oh, the world of him. He said, we had a dinner down in the Prospect Ave Assembly down in Hartford, and it was a conference, and he was there. And we were eating afterwards, and this young person next to me, I was always there at the right place, at the right time, I guess. And this young person said, after listening to J.M. Davies, old man, he was old, he said, I can't take it anymore. He says, I'm saved. But he says, I am having so much, he blurted it right out. I thought I was going to cry. He just finished his meal, and J.M. Davies is eating his ice cream with those little Dixie cup spoons, the little wooden spoons that they give you, and he's just eating it like this quietly and just listening. And he looked up, and the young man said, I can't stand it. He says, I can't stop sinning. I can't. He says, yes, you can. He says, well, I'm having an awful time. He says, if you think you're in a bad way, wait till you get to be my age. You're always going to struggle against the flesh. That's what happens. The idea is that you have to struggle. The Bible says the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit lusts against the flesh. This is a normal thing. It's the worst part of being a Christian. Not being killed. God will give you grace if you have to die for the faith someday. Hopefully you won't, but you get the martyr's crown. There are five crowns. You'll get the martyr's crown. That's one of them. But you have to crucify the flesh every day. You have to do it. What does it mean to crucify it? Put it in the place of death. Reckon yourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Isn't that wonderful? You can do that. You can do that. The youngest, newest believer, saved 5 minutes ago, can do that. And by God's grace, you will. But you have to actually, like two little kids. I knew one kid growing up. He was always picked on, but he had a big brother. And after the first time, he told his big brother, and his big brother settled the argument. And he says, that's my little brother, and you leave him alone. And that's what happened. That little kid was never bullied after that, because he had somebody looking out for him that he could depend upon. And we all do that. We all have someone greater than ourselves. He's our great high priest. He's not just our high priest. We're priests. We offer sacrifices to God. Prophet, we tell people about Christ. We're, in a sense, a prophet. And we are also, as the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he's our great high priest, we are priests. What did we do in our priestly behavior? Well, we did some of it this morning in the first meeting. We offered the overflow of our heart to God the Father. Now, This whole epistle is about the priesthood of Christ, and you can't get it all in one meeting. Even at one reading, if you sat down and read the whole thing from cover to cover, God will reveal different things at different times as you're able to take it. And don't forget, he knows you better than you know yourself. I know people that have read the Bible for close to 70 years. He said, you know what I found out this morning? Wait a minute, how long have you been reading this? He said, it doesn't matter how long you read it. You could read it for 1,000 years. And God is going to reveal things. That's why there's no book like this. God is going to reveal these things to us. And I will tell you, I've had a lot of thrills in my life. One time I jumped my motorcycle. I never did it again. I did it once. And that was enough for me. I came down on my rear wheel, and I kept my handlebars straight, but I bottomed out my shock absorbers and my front forks. There are some things you do one time, and you say, that's enough. I'll never do that again. I never did. That was when I was young. But the thing is, I was terrified. And a lot of other terrifying things happen. But here's my point. My point is, God's word is never old. There's nothing like it. And what it is, when you see something that nobody told you about, you get it yourself. That's the biggest thrill of all. You say, wow. Now, of course, somebody else has had the same thought because it's God's word. And we're not the first Christian. There's other being before us, but nobody told you about it. And you see it for yourself the first time. It's a thrill. I told you, I jumped that motorcycle. That was not a thrill. That was fear. But this was a thrill that you get. Say, wow, God spoke to me. He spoke to me. That is a wonderful thing. Not since the day of your salvation did you get a thrill like that. It's a wonderful thing. This is just you and him. He's like a dad with a kid. Kid's got the Bible open. Dad says, he got his arm over the kid's shoulder. Look at that. You ever see that? You see that? He said, no. And the father explains it to him. And the kid gets it. And he says, I see it. It's wonderful. God does the same thing. God, the Holy Spirit, will do the same thing with us. You won't see the Holy Spirit, but he's certainly talking to us, and he tells us what's in his heart and what he wants you to know. Is there anything more precious than that? I don't think so. It's more precious than love or money, but it's a special kind of love. It's agape love, and God has that for us, for each one of us. And how can we know that we have that? Is your heart soft? Have you got a soft heart? I know somebody had a stroke. Now, I know a lot of people that had a stroke, not just one. He's gone to be with the Lord now. But you know what? He told me, he said the stroke was one of the best things that ever happened to me. I said, what? He said, you can't. I was young. I said, you have a hard time moving. Have a hard time. You can't even pick anything up with your hand that's been stroked. He said, I know. But he said, it's one of the best things that ever happened to me. I said, well, how can you say that? He says, it brought me closer to Christ. And he was close before. Closer. Look, when trials come, I know we don't like them. I've had quite a few, and I'm going to have more if I live. But I'll just tell you, they will bring you closer to God. They will bring you, if you let it. Some people get bitter, you know. You walk in the flesh will not appreciate the inconvenience and the pain or whatever. What you do is, the Catholics had a thing. You know what they used to do when you had trouble? Sometimes they were right. They say, offer it up to God. Whatever it was, tragedy, pain, suffering, whatever it was, they say, offer it up to God. How can you offer it up to God unless you're a priest? That's what a priest does. He makes offerings to God. And that's what it is. I didn't get anywhere near what I wanted, but you're probably tired of listening to me anyway. The thing is, what I will do, we'll close in prayer. It's 12 o'clock. And there's so much here in Hebrews. A wonderful book. The priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And looking at him as our high priest, our great high priest, there's only one. It's him. We can emulate him. We can be little Christs. That's what it means to be a Christian. A little Christ compared to him. Some people are bigger than I am, and some people are smaller. That's not the point. The point is, a bigger Christ, he's the great high priest. There's no one higher than he. But we can be apprentice priest-like, learning from him, learning, though he endured the contradiction of sinners and so on and all the other problems of life. But what happened? He ended up offering himself up so that we could be saved and we could become children of God. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we are so happy about the Lord Jesus Christ. We know, our Father, that we do fall short so many times. But, Father, we are so glad to be saved. So glad to have Christ. So glad to know him. To know him. Before we were saved, we heard about him. But to know him. Knowing him, Father, we've come to know thee. For he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Help us, Father, to be more passionate, to always, always, always seek to get closer to him, that we might be conformed to his image. We know our Father will always be faulty, but he has no fault in thy Son. Even the Roman procurator could say, I find no fault in him. No one could. So, Father, we thank thee that we have Christ, and we have thy Holy Spirit, and we have thyself. Father, help us to be more like Christ. Help us to follow him closely and to be more like him. In the Savior's name we pray, amen.